Bucks talk starts now.
Notice to the NBA, rumors of the Bucks demise perhaps greatly exaggerated.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
This one on the Mount Rushmore of Giannis performances. He had a 50-piece to clinch an NBA championship. He's had 64 in a game. He's had those moments before. You think about him crowning himself in that game against the Lakers and the St. Patrick's Day game where he and Joel Embiid had that duel that the Bucks ultimately lost. But he's had some big statistical games. But the importance of where this team is currently at, what he had on the floor with him, and his two-way play in this one tonight. I mean, this is one of the three or four best games we have ever seen him play and probably will ever see him play. The magnitude of it. Even after the game, we could hear some of what he was saying in the arena through their feed that they put through the PA. And when Giannis was talking with Melanie Ricks after the game and seeing he was getting emotional and talking about the spirit of this team and how much they don't quit, everything he's had to say about competitiveness and what this team needs to do, like, it's not ideal, the start that this team has gotten off to. We've made that point before. It's also way too early to say, well, it's over, and this team isn't going to advance out of the first round. This team isn't going to make the playoffs. The season's over, all of it. If for no other reason than what we're seeing across the Eastern Conference. I mean, it's tonight, Brandon. What is today? November 13th. November 13th. Is when we finally have three teams above 500 in the Eastern Conference. So the door is very much still open, not necessarily to win the regular season Eastern Conference, you know, in terms of your record, but to be a top four seed and to get this turned around, you're going to need some of what you saw tonight. You're obviously going to need to be healthy. You're going to need Chris Middleton back on the floor. You're going to need to have a point guard and able to be able to do that. But I thought it was, you know, not only – you can't overstate the performance of Giannis, but the importance of players like Gary Trent Jr. too, who finally saw the ball go through the net and made some big plays for you. He's a guy you're going to have to lean on. Like, I don't want to make too much over a regular season win, as much as I'm sure some people will say it was the Pistons. Who cares? You beat the Detroit Pistons. They're a much better team. Are they on the level of the Celtics or the Knicks or where you aspire to be? No, not yet. But this isn't the Pistons from a year ago. It's a better team, and it was a game you needed to win. So this was a very, very important win tonight for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. An incredible performance tonight from Giannis, an important win for this team as well. And, I mean, up and down the list. You know, when we started this game, you would not have thought that we would be talking about a win with this team, about some of the offensive numbers that we saw from this team. But wins like this are important to start to dig out of holes here when you're in the spot that the Bucks have put themselves in to start this season. And certainly, Giannis, one of the most important pieces of that. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. We'll get Brandon's thoughts in a second here, but let's start things by heading out to the phone lines and checking in with our friend Dick in Port Washington. Dick, the last few times we've spoken, I don't know if you firmly pressed the panic button. You're certainly hovering over it. Have the last two games changed any of that?
This is going to be my first positive call of the year, with one exception. With one exception is that from the 1 minute, 57 second mark through the overtime, We Energies decided to keep cutting our power off. So every time it cut power off, the cable box had to recharge. So I want to give you and Dave great praise for your call during the final 8 minutes of this game. You guys were great.
Which one was better?
With that said, this was an unbelievable game for multiple reasons. I think it's the kind of game that could, underline could, turn the season around. And I think one of the calls that I made earlier when I was Mr. Negative is that I didn't think that Dame and Giannis made anybody else better tonight. Even though Giannis scored 59 points, it's my opinion that he made other players better tonight around him. He trusted them, he encouraged them, and he led them. What do you think of that?
I agree. I think, you know, there's some – we start to see more. My big concern coming into tonight was not just no Dame, but, I mean, no Ryan Rollins, too. It's not just – you felt bad for Ryan Rollins because of the way he played yesterday, and now he suffers an injury, and he's already going to miss the very next game where you're hoping, he can build on that and he continue to give us a spark. But the importance of having a point guard, like organizing things, getting you into your offensive sets, getting the ball across half court. Doc talked about it after the game, too. Giannis had to be their point guard. Delon Wright was there. Delon Wright had some struggles tonight. We saw more Pat Connaughton as the backup point guard because that's the only option you had. But to your point of making guys better, we started to see that as the game went on. And, I mean, look, a big part of that is you make your shots, and it's going to start to be contagious, and everybody gets better. But some of the little things, like that inverted pick and roll that he and Pat Connaughton run very frequently, started to work. But then you started to see Giannis kind of, I don't know if so much if it was clicking in Giannis's head, if it was his teammates or what, but you started to see it sprinkle out to other guys, too, of, okay, Ajax is going to come and do that for him. The two-man game between Giannis and Brook Lopez and things like that where you just have to go through it and figure out, hey, this worked. Why don't we try this? Like, those moments are important.
Yeah, and another point I'd like to make is that the first half was extremely forgettable.
No.
From coaching to players to everything. But the second half, it came together. That's why I think this can be a season-changing game. I'm shocked. I'm emboldened with optimism now. Now, that might change if we lose in Charlotte, because I'm a fence sitter, as you all know, but it was great. And, again, thanks for calling the game when I couldn't watch it. And I apologize for all the bad language I used. The wee energies during this blackout. Have a good night, guys.
All right. See ya, Dick. I mean, that's the hope, Brandon, is you leave this game, mm-hmm. and 2-3 weeks from now, we get into January, and it not like the Bucks are going to go on a 30-game win streak or everything is fixed, but it was a gradual continuing to get better. And you look back at this game and you say, that was the game that turned a lot of it around. Like, they were down 18 to the Pistons. We all thought they were dead in the water. I mean, there was not great vibes in this building. The atmosphere was not good, where everybody thought, man, I know there's no Dame, no Bobby. We still don't have Chris. We didn't get a chance to see if Ryan Rollins had an encore, but 18-point margin and the offense looking like it was to, you know, fast forward a couple of minutes later in the third quarter, they go on this run and they win this game. That the hope is, this is the game you point to and say that was the springboard for when they started to figure it out, and hopefully coincided with them getting healthy too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to touch a point you made, Justin, when you opened the show, and shout out to you and Dave, because you guys were fantastic throughout the whole game as I was driving during the rainstorm. But I want Bucks fans, and myself included, to kind of take a moment tonight, tomorrow morning, Thursday during the day, maybe Thursday night if you're watching the Thursday night games on, and just appreciate what we actually have. And I know it's easy at times, and I'm guilty of it. It's easy at times for Bucks fans to get kind of caught in the mud and worry about what the record is and who's not doing well and why is Brook Lopez taking that shot at that moment and who's not getting rebounds and who's – again, I'm guilty of it, but Giannis – is the NBA's best player. I don't think it's a discussion anymore. I don't think it has been a discussion. You can give me another player. I won't listen to your argument. He plays in Milwaukee. He took his jersey pulled it away from his chest and said, "This is my city." We gotta take a minute to appreciate the greatness that is Giannis, and off the court as well, and what he does on the court. 59 points tonight, 14 rebounds, 7 assists when he's missing 4 normal contributors. And say what you want about the Pistons. I mean, they've won 4 of their last 6 games. They've been playing really good basketball, and they beat a good Miami Heat team last night in overtime. So they were, I mean, they were coming off a big win as well as the Bucks were. But I just want to take a moment, man, to appreciate, yes, we can talk about this win. Hopefully it's a springboard. You and Dave knocked it out of the park. I absolutely agree with Dick and his phone call. But I just want Bucks fans, and myself included, to just understand the magnitude of what it was tonight. I mean, it was a regular season game in November. But we are witnessing what is going to go down as the franchise's – he already is the franchise's greatest player, but one of the NBA's most iconic players. And he plays in Milwaukee, Justin. He loves to play in Milwaukee, and this is our guy. This is his city. And I just wanted to take a moment to just appreciate that, because I think at times we kind of take it for granted, and we're watching, you know, these dunk after dunk. And tonight he really scored from all over, but – man, it's just – you saw him get emotional there, Justin, at the end of the game talking to Melanie Ricks. And it's a game in November, man, on a Wednesday night. And his eyes are welling up with tears because what this means to him. And I don't think sometimes we take full advantage and appreciation for what he is on the court. And he is special. I mean, he is special, special, capital S. And I'm just so grateful that he's – that he plays for my favorite team, and tonight was just amazing.
Yeah, 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. An incredible performance from Giannis. I don't even know what the official ranking is or how to rank the all-time games we've seen from him. All I know is this is one of them. With everything that was up against the team, all the firepower that was off the floor, where it was basically, hey, man, we need you to do everything for us. He did. The minutes he played into overtime, the intensity that he had, he never wore down, and he single-handedly kept this team in the game for the first 30 minutes, and eventually shots started to fall and everybody started to rise to meet him. So this was truly one of those nights for Giannis, one that will go down in the record books, as you know, the Bucks also sent out their note of what he did tonight. The first time in league history that we have seen this stat line for a single player in a game. First player in NBA history to record at least 50 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks, and 2 steals in a game.
It's crazy.
Literally did everything for the team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. A couple of more calls to get to. We'll get your thoughts on a remarkable performance from Giannis after this on Bucks Talk.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
One of the all-time iconic performances tonight from Giannis Antetokounmpo. 59 points, did something we've never seen in an NBA game with those 50-plus points. 10-plus rebounds, 16-plus assists, 3 or more blocks, 2 or more steals. All in the same game. First time it's ever happened in league history. And importantly, it results in a win tonight for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Q in Milwaukee. You're up next.
Justin, we have a win streak.
Yeah.
We're going to make this.
Two straight wins. You can't call it a streak until it's 3.
What? 2 in a row is a streak. What are you talking about?
No, it's not. Watch Major League.
At this rate, I'll call it a win streak. We need it.
This is basketball. We in the last 2 days, we doubled our win total. Like, do not pop this balloon, Justin. It has been a long season. We're going to make this a Giannis appreciation show. I'm excited about the 59 points, but we've all seen Giannis's offensive spark. Like, every season, he always has that offensive spark. these last two games, we've seen the defensive spark again.
Yeah.
And he cares. And, like, I don't know if he's listening or seeing stuff in social media, but he's taking this slow start seriously, and I think it's changing him for the better as a leader and as a player, which I didn't think was possible. Like, dude's already got a statue. Like, it's just getting bigger at this point. And I'm really excited. Hopefully we can keep it rolling in Charlotte this week.
It's a good point on the defense, and thanks for the call, Q, because I don't know about critical, but I've pointed out some things this year and last year of these are things I would expect to see a little more progress or see Giannis be better at defensively. And even earlier in the season, we would point to some of those. That hasn't been the case the last four or so games. I mean, he was an absolute demon defensively, and he's gotten back to he's Johnny on the spot, where when you really need a play and it looks like something is broken down, that's when he emerges and makes one of those plays. Brooke Lopez has done that the last two games as well. The defense, to me, is the notable part because that's what they're going to need from Giannis, you know, especially when this team is healthy and you assume you have Damian Lillard in the lineup, you have Chris Middleton, you're going to have some more scoring. You need Giannis to be a standout defensive player. Like, you're not asking him to, hey, man, we need you to score, like, 15 less points and focus on the defense. No, that's not what we're saying. But you need him to be an impactful defender, given the way that the roster is made up. You've sprinkled in some help around him. I know Doc talked about it. We talked about it down the stretch of the game. Andre Jackson Jr. was critical tonight with the way that he defended and really frustrated Cade Cunningham. Because you saw differences, whoever it was. You know, whether it was DeLon Wright, Pat Connaughton. It was much different when Ajax was there, sticking with him, fighting through screens, forcing him to eat up time to cross midcourt and get the Pistons into their sets. And you could see he was getting frustrated. There was that double technical between the two of them as well. But Giannis's defense these last couple of games has been incredible. And, you know, I always preach Brandon sample size and the importance of it, and I'm going to go against what I always do and use something from a very small sample size. But the season as a whole is a small sample size at this point. This is just seven games, but in the month of November, the Bucks are 3-4, and you know, you look at those four losses and who they're against. Yeah, the heartbreaker against the Cleveland Cavaliers on the Donovan Mitchell game winner. Yet another loss to the Cavs in a game that at one point you had no business being in, then you clawed back into it and made it a game and ended up losing those two games to the Cavs by a combined total of 3 points. You lost to the Knicks in a game where you were not competitive. That was your one blemish in the month of November. The Boston game. Very competitive. You led by double digits. You led by 11 at halftime. You felt like you should have won that game. So you played much stiffer competition, and you were hanging around in those games. In those seven games in the month of November, the Bucks are 3-4. Where would you guess their defense currently ranks for those games, all teams, in the month of November?
Purely just a guess here, Justin. I'm by the eye test, I'm going to say top 10.
It's eighth.
Okay, yeah, and that's just going off the eye test because I felt like they just had moments in those games that you mentioned where they just kind of slipped for you know, brief period, and then obviously, you know, the game kind of got away from them at the end. But I mean, yeah, that would make sense. It definitely passes the eye test.
Yeah, eighth best defense, and again, seven games. I get that, but you know, those seven games, three of them have been against the Cavs and the Celtics. One of them's against the New York Knicks, who've been a pretty good offense this year. So it's been some pretty tough competition that you've played over the course of these seven games, and you're starting to see that movement defensively. I mean, I still think it's not too much to ask to say, like, can this team just get and sit consistently at, like, 12, 13, because the offense has not been good enough. That has been the Bucks' problem this year. You're going to listen to a lot of stuff. It's not going to be quite as loud tomorrow because the Bucks have suddenly won two straight games and Giannis has looked like a monster. But you're going to hear and have heard a lot of discourse over, well, Bucks are screwed. Their defense hasn't been fixed. It's still an issue on the perimeter and yada, yada, yada. There are some issues that have popped up. It is nowhere near where it was at its low point a year ago, and especially these last 2 weeks, 10 days, it's been a much different defense. You can throw around, well, look at the wins. They beat the Pistons. They beat the Raptors. They beat the Jazz. Sure, they're competitive against the two best records in the league, two teams that right now are combined 22-2 in the league. They lost those three games by a combined total of 10 points to those two teams. So the process has been much better. I don't think there's much to complain about with this defense of late. It's been good enough. It's kept you in a game and given you chances to win a game. The offense hasn't been good enough. Part of that is who's not on the floor. Part of that is the injuries that you're dealing with. The biggest part of that is guys aren't hitting shots. And what we saw from Gary Trent Jr. tonight,
oof, man, was that beautiful.
That's what you need. You just need to see the ball go through the net.
I think that was good for him too, man, because you could, I mean, a couple of those driving into the paint. I mean, he had that three-pointer that was huge. I was obviously enjoying it because it was resulting in points and buckets, but you felt, at least for me, I felt so good for him because it was a guy that's obviously kind of came in here, minimum contract, but still had high expectations. And I think tonight too, Justin, and this is no knock on Malik Beasley, who I thought had a fantastic game shooting the ball, but you saw what the Bucks saw when they brought in Taurean Prince and Gary Trent Jr., two guys that are able to switch on the perimeter, can kind of score all over the court, and it was kind of on display tonight, especially when with Gary Trent shaking out of that funk, and I think you mentioned it with Dave. Nowhere near would this have been a game without Gary Trent Jr. in that third quarter. Absolutely clutch for him, and really happy for him as well.
Gary Trent, Taurean Prince, too, what he did down the stretch of this game. I mean, those guys had huge performances for you tonight. And, that's been one of the more puzzling things. As bad as it's been team-wide, the anemic shooting that we've seen from the Bucks, they still have two guys in the top 10 in three-point shooting in A.J. Green and Taurean Prince. Like, Gary Trent Jr. is not going to be a 20% three-point shooter all year.
No.
He's going to start to hit some shots. It's not just threes, either. Like, once we saw some threes fall, you saw more of that comfort where he can put the ball on the floor, get into the lane, hit one of those floaters. He's going to start to hit some more of those shots. Damian Lillard, when he gets back, your offense. Right now, the offense has been bad by the numbers for this Bucks team. In that same sample size of seven games that we're looking at where, hey, the good news, Bucks have the eighth best defense in the league since November. The bad news, the offense is still near the bottom 10 in the league. That's been the issue for the Bucks all season long. It is not the defense. It is not, well, they haven't fixed the perimeter. They don't have anybody that can lock down. Like, the defense has done its job. It has been good enough to keep you in games. The offense hasn't come together. Part of that is who's not on the floor. Part of that is the shooting slump that this team has been in. But games like this, I mean, they can do a number of things for you to propel you as a team, but start to lift some of those shot-making opportunities as well. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's squeeze in one more call before the break. Will I Am, you're up next.
Hey, Justin, Brandon, thank you so much for taking my call. Man, I am just beyond blessed to even be in the presence of games like this. You know, as a child, I got to see the Bulls win 70 wins at the Bradley. I got to stand outside when Giannis scored 55 in that finals game. And just to see this, the pure emotion, obviously I was there for the Indiana game, but the pure emotion that he displayed on this game said, I'm going to get the ball, we're going to win, regardless of what it takes. And that just reminded me of Kobe Bryant from, I think it was like the 05 or 07 or 08 season when, you know, disrespect to the Bucks here, but they aren't obviously what Kobe had on the Lakers where he just had to shoot the lights out. And I tweeted almost every game, I think Giannis can go for 50 casually. But to see him do it with such power and such finesse on the defensive end, obviously those huge blocks, those huge ability to get to the rim, get the and one, him flying all over the floor, massive. And then I have two last points here before I let you guys go. This season is a different season, and not all games are guaranteed wins. Where in years past, before, you could say, oh, we're playing the Pistons, this one should chalk it up. Yeah, you know, go into overtime and still have to put up almost 60. You know, these are different teams from the past. And my question for you, which I want to know about, is the termage on these calls that get reviewed. When the referee stated that he made legal contact, but yet still goes to the line, I feel like the referee used the wrong word.
Yeah.
Do you agree on that? Or
In that one, I think he meant to say illegal contact, but yes.
Right. Again, I'm just so happy that that guy, I think he airballed the first free throw. Was that correct, Justin?
He may have barely nicked the rim, but yeah, it was close.
Again, being able to sit in the 112 area to see that. I'm curious, Justin, where are you at for these games? Are you on the floor? Are you higher up? Where do they position you?
No, we are in the, what section is this even?
Oh, 117.
117. So right at mid-court, yeah.
Right by the statistician, right? Above that?
Yep.
The little statistician area?
Yep.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, best view of this game, man. And build that statue like you said. Get that thing up there and go Bucks, man. I'm glad we're back. Go Bucks, baby.
All right. Thanks for the call, Will. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. One of the more remarkable games we've seen from Giannis Antetokounmpo in his storied career, and hopefully the springboard game that really starts to unlock things and propel this team. A big one, and I mean that in all seriousness, Saturday afternoon in Charlotte against the Hornets. We'll start to look ahead to that game and get to some more of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
-120, the final score in overtime. The Bucks, it felt like they had to win this game twice with that. I mean, maybe three times, too, when you
saw. I was going to say.
When you saw Marcus Sasser make that.
Oh, my goodness.
That three-pointer, too. And I mean, that's the other. You just, the Bucks have done a much better job of this the last couple of weeks. But you just got to finish possessions. Like, that's one of the larger things that plagued this team last year, whether it was knocking the ball loose but not getting the steal, and it leads to, oh, they've regained possession and now they've scored. Not going to get the rebound, like, just close the possession. They've done a better job of that of late. But there were a couple of those instances tonight, and that was one of them. And it's really hard to fault the Bucks because of the way it was bouncing around on that play. A great effort from Gary Trent Jr. to stay engaged in the play and not get loose from Cade Cunningham. But when you saw the three go through, you just felt so deflated. If the Bucks did everything right on this, and the Pistons hit a three to tie it. And then that, I mean, Doc Rivers probably summed it up best after the game when he was asked about it, and just said, I'm going to stay away from that one because it was clearly not a foul, and I think we all know that.
I think it's the frustrating part about it all, Justin, is when you look at the NBA game as a whole, that should never come down to something like that, in my opinion. It should never come down to, I don't want to say like a superstar getting the call, but that, I mean, that's a bang-bang play, and it was clearly not. Number one, it didn't even look like a foul in real time. And then you go over and look at it, and I mean, now we're talking about minimal contact, and that's a huge credit to this Bucks team, because you mentioned it. Three times they could have thrown in the towel. When Sasser hit that three, the Bucks did everything right for 23.9 seconds, it felt like, in that shot clock, and sunk the three, the foul on Giannis. It just felt like the Bucks couldn't catch a break, and man, that's why I think this is such a huge win, and we touch base on it. Can it be the springboard going forward? When you win a game, when you win three games in one, I think you're trending in the right direction on getting things rolling in the right direction for sure.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Unrelated to the game, we also had the exclusive breaking news from Dustin Godsey, which we'll get to in a second on our broadcast tonight. But let's squeeze in one more call here. Jim in West Milwaukee, you're up next.
Yeah, hi. I just have a simple stats question. I just putting the numbers together on Brook Lopez, 29 points along with Giannis is 59. That adds up to 88 points. And I was thinking, I don't know, let's already discuss this. I don't think that any two players in one game in a Bucks game have ever totaled that much.
I'd like to find that out. I tried to Google it, I couldn't find it.
That's a good question. We saw Giannis and Dame score 75 this year.
Yeah, well, and there was, I feel like it was close or more when Chris had the 50-point game against the Wizards. I want to say Drew Holiday had a big game, too.
He would have had to have, 34. With his 54, so I don't know.
Well,
I looked up all time.
Well, Giannis had 64.
Yeah,
was it last year?
Yeah.
So somebody.
Yeah,
that's
his high. That's his total career high. But somebody else would have had to have. Just on two players, somebody else would have still had to have 24.
Or more. Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't know, but it is definitely. It's something to research and look into. So
yeah.
I will look
it
into
might
that.
Be a record, maybe. Could be.
Yeah, I will look into that, and we'll see if we can find out by the end of the show. Anything else from tonight, Jim?
That'd be great. That's pretty much it. I was just curious. I just realized, wow, these two guys put up 88 points. That's not common.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're like Will Chamberlain, and you have 100 points, and that guy scores 10 points, then that's different. But that's my only question.
All right. Incredible performance. I mean, I think, Brandon, to your point, the 64-point game that he had last year against the Pacers, Dame had 21 in that game. So you fell just short.
That fell three short.
That's what I was just looking,
one.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. The only other one, like I said, off the top of my head was I feel like Drew Holiday had a somewhat big game.
He did.
In that Chris Middleton game as well. And that was, I believe, the title year against the Wizards. But, we'll take a look at that and see if we can get an answer on that by the end of the show. Thanks for the call, Jim. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Can't overstate how great Giannis was tonight in these last couple of games. Again, a couple of nuggets to throw out there. Eighth best defensive rating in the league since November 1st. It is a small sample of games, just seven of them. But four of those games have been played against the Cavs, the Celtics, and the New York Knicks. So it's not like the Bucks are just playing tomato cans in this game. Like, great, they're playing bad offenses, and that's how they're cleaning up their defense. Like, no, the process has been consistently better. There's a lot that's tied into it. Your offense has to put your defense in a good spot. We didn't see that early in the season. You got to be healthy. You got to improve the offense overall. But just what you've seen from guys, and most importantly, I think what you've seen from Giannis and the injection of youth has really made a difference on this defense during the course of these last seven games. Yes.
I found it. March 29th, 2023.
Was this the Chris game? Oh no!
This was not the Chris game, but you were on it though. You said
2023, so it was Drew when he had 50.
Yep.
Yeah,
he had 51, and Giannis had 38.
Yeah. Okay,
which was 89. So I mean,
yep. So it's more.
Shout out to Jim. Yeah, that was a really close call there. So yeah, what a game from Drew.
Yeah. The other piece that I mentioned here. So, and I don't want to take too much away in terms of attention from this game. Because of the potential importance of it and because of how special the performance was for Giannis. But, Brandon, what did you think of those Cream City jerseys that the Bucks had a couple of years ago as their city edition?
Probably my favorite, Justin. No joke. I like the black. ones that they wore last night. But I really, the Cream City has been on the top of my list for quite some time.
So they ditched those. Well, not ditched them, but your City Edition jersey is a new one every single year. And by the way, I know there have been leaks that have been unconfirmed by the team, but the City Edition jerseys will be unveiled tomorrow. So stay tuned to social media to see the Bucks City Edition jerseys officially unveiled tomorrow. But we've seen blue for the last couple of years, and the Bucks chief marketing officer, Dustin Godsey, there was a lot of discourse on social media over, why can't we have the cream-colored jerseys? Mm-hmm. We love those. Bring those back. And Dustin Godsey stepped into it and said, look, we can't. The league told us no because of the ads on the court and how that cream plays off of the court color, that we're not allowed to do them again. So that's why you see it. And was it the Pistons? I think one team had a pretty close to cream-colored jersey that was
Atlanta does
leaked this year. And it caused a lot of Bucks fans to say, well, wait a minute, they do. Why can't we? So I asked Dustin about it today. And he said, the glitch has been fixed, and they are now allowed to bring back cream-colored jerseys. It will not be this year, so it's not going to be the City Edition jersey this year. But the heavy implication from Dustin Godsey, who would know and who has played a role in all of these City Edition jerseys that we've seen through the years, the implication is the cream-colored jerseys are going to return, and I get the sense it's next year that will be the Bucks City Edition jersey.
Justin Garcia breaking the second best news of the night behind a Bucks win. The Cream City jerseys making its comeback eventually. Where do you like those? Where do they stand in your standings for jerseys?
I like them. I like the whole what would you call it? Just the whole collection that they launched with that.
I do too.
I liked those. My favorite City Edition jerseys, which I hated when they unveiled them and didn't understand it. It was one of those things that you just had to see them up close and see the detail that went into it, were the Mecca jerseys.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think I'm right there. What was the year? Was it 2 years ago with the lake was like the theme for the jersey, Lake Michigan? Was that last year?
The championship year.
Okay, so a couple of years ago. I'm kind of right there with the Mecca. I kind of agree with you. But I like the black ones that they wore last night, and I really love the Cream City jersey. But my all-time favorite jersey, I don't know the name of it, but it's the old school, I want to say late 90s, with the deer on the side of the jersey.
The green?
The green, yeah.
That was the alternate in the 90s?
Man, those are the best. Those are the days you got to remember, though, because we got Giannis now, man. We got to cherish these moments. We didn't have great memories back then.
Those are days that are easier to remember because you have Giannis. Because
the jerseys were the best thing we had to look forward to. Those were awesome jerseys, though. Those were cool.
I remember I liked them when they unveiled them, but the further removed we are from it, like, no, I just like the purple and the white jerseys that they wore much better than those.
The purple ones are pretty cool too. Those are the childhood memories I have of the Bucks. So those will always have a special place in my heart.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Night where Giannis pours in 59 points, the Bucks get an important win, and perhaps more importantly, they get 2 days off before heading to Charlotte to take on the Hornets. It's going to be a tough matchup. We'll take a look at that and the hope that you'll have Damian Lillard back on the floor Saturday against the Charlotte Hornets. You're going to need him against a team that's playing pretty well right now with LaMelo Ball and company, and our old friend Charles Lee, the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets as well. We'll start to take a look ahead to that game after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so Saturday afternoon, you head to afternoon games. I mean,
on a Saturday is kind of weird.
I'm all for it. but I have no statistical backing of this. It just feels like the Bucks have not done well in afternoon games. So there's that. The Hornets are playing pretty well. And Charles Lee has done a great job so far with a very young group. They're 4-7, but you know, coming into the season, Brandon, I said it on a different show that I do that I thought either the Hornets or the Pistons were going to be the 10 seed. That one of those two teams was just going to jump up and outperform, and you know, a 10 seed is probably like in the East a 33 win team. But the coaching changes, the Pistons added a lot of shooting. You referenced Malik Beasley and what he did tonight. Tobias Harris, too, what he brings. We didn't see Tim Hardaway Jr. tonight. But they really upgraded their roster. And the Hornets have some nice young pieces with Brandon Miller, with LaMelo Ball. We've seen LaMelo Ball have some big games against the Bucks throughout his career, so it is certainly going to be a challenge. I would imagine there's going to be a lot of Ajax on LaMelo Ball defensively. But they're playing really well right now. They have a young, young group that likes to get up and down the floor. So that is going to be a big challenge for this Bucks team.
On a Saturday afternoon, like you said. So we'll see if they're up for the challenge. We talked a lot about, I know you and I have, and I know Bucks fans in general have, about the Bucks perimeter defense. Well, Trey Mann, Seth Curry, you know, you mentioned Ball and Miller. They're going to certainly be tested. Grant Williams, you would imagine, is going to present a little bit of a, I wouldn't say an issue, because I'm sure he's going to try his best to get in the Bucks' head like he did when he was over in Boston. So he'll be an interesting character to keep an eye on come Saturday. But this is what you want, Justin. This is, if you're the Bucks right now and you roll off two wins and one was incredible, like you said, you wanted a few, felt like you won the game a few different times. This is what you want, man. A winnable game, in my opinion, on the road. Not taking anything away from Charlotte. Like we said before, great players, a great roster, certainly a good coach in Charles Lee. But this is a great challenge for this team, because if you can get this win, 5-8, Justin, after starting 2-8, and you got a boatload of home games on the schedule, that would be huge, man. It would be huge, in my opinion. So it's a great test for this Bucks team, and I think you'll hopefully get Damian Lillard and Rollins back into the fold.
Yeah, I was talking with Jim Ozarski of the Journal Sentinel before last night's game, I think this was, and he was telling me that they were already, you know, you go through the editorial process and plan out, like, we should do a feature on this, or we should write something up on this. And that somebody on the editing staff was kind of pitching the, like, we should prepare for the doom and gloom piece to write. Because, Jim, what if this team is 15-15, you know, when we get 30 games into the season? And he was telling me, you know, I had to tell him, guys, if they're 15-15, it means they've gone 13-7. Like, that's pretty good. That's just
We'll take that.
The hole that you've put yourself in. So that's what you need to level set the expectations to. And that's why winning games that you should expect to win are very important. You've been competitive with good teams sometimes, right? It wasn't the case against the Knicks. Wasn't the case against the Memphis Grizzlies. But you were very competitive with the Celtics twice, with the Cavs twice. You got to beat the teams that you would expect to win. Like last night against the Raptors. This one was always feeling a little tricky because it was night two of a back-to-back for an older team. I know the Pistons played last night as well and played in overtime. It's a young team. And everybody that you were down, I mean, Doc said himself after the game tonight, you know, we really thought Dame was going to play as of last night, that we thought he was going to clear concussion protocol. He was able to do some things yesterday, go through more testing. He passed all of that, and then he woke up today and had a bit of a headache. So, like, all right, back to square one there. He's not cleared. And then the Bobby thing just caught everybody off guard in that, you know, Doc didn't even talk about it in pregame media availability, which tells you it was the epitome of a last minute scratch. That we can't play him. So you thought you were going to have both of those guys. It was still going to be a challenge, but it makes it even more rewarding to win this game tonight. But it's going to be a challenge Saturday against the Hornets. I was watching that game Sunday where the Hornets played the 76ers. And just watching the way they play, thinking,
oh boy,
this team's going to give them some problems. I mean,
yeah,
what they do, and this is where it's going to be very interesting to see how the Bucks are up to the defensive task. I mentioned the pace that Charlotte wants to play at. They take the second highest percentage of their shots from three than any team in the league. They're taking 47% of their shots from three. And we've talked about it before. It's the math equation, and especially if you don't have as much talent, if you don't have superstars on your team, like they have good players. LaMelo Ball's been very good. He's not a superstar. You got to win the math equation. 3 points are worth more than two, especially games like tonight. And you go back to last night, like, you got to junk up the game when you can and just say, look, even if we're shooting 30%, keep shooting them. Because if they go in, it's more points than us giving up a dunk or us giving up something else on the other end. And that's how we're going to win these games. And that's what the Hornets have done so far this season.
They kind of do. They remind you a little bit of what the Pacers were last year, at least as far as the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I was going to say there are pieces that I trust defensively more on the Hornets. But to some extent, I mean, just in the way that LaMelo Ball plays, the pace he plays at, the unorthodox shot that he has that still manages to go in, similar to Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah, it's kind of like the, and I don't even mean this, it's going to sound much worse than I mean it to come across as, but like, you know, the old joke of like, it's the Kmart version of like, yeah, they kind of remind me of like the Kmart version of the Pacers offense where, yeah, I can see some hints to it. It's not quite to that level, but because that Pacers offense was elite and incredibly efficient. Like the Hornets want to get there and they're playing that style. The results just aren't there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if the Bucks come into Saturday afternoon with a couple of the guys that we mentioned that missed tonight, most notably.
Well, Dame's the big – well, actually, I take that.
Rollins is right behind him.
Very important from what we've seen so far because of his toughness, his size, and his defensive ability. You know, I don't know what's going on with DeLon Wright. He's not been on the injury report, so he's not injured, to clear that up. But we did hear early in the season he was on a minutes restriction. I know he struggled against the Boston Celtics. This is a guy the Bucks were very, very high on when they signed in the offseason and said he was their number one target. We heard other people. David Aldridge on the Here District. Marcus and Chris Johnson really hyping him up. If you guys are going to love what you see from him. Hasn't been the version that we've seen of DeLon Wright so far this year. It's early. There's still time to turn it around, and it's not to say terrible signing, you got to give up on him. But it hasn't been what you expected to see. The silver lining is that it has opened the door for Ryan Rollins, and albeit in small samples, Ryan Rollins has given you that. And there's a lot of intrigue
plus some
with the youth and the size that he has.
Yeah, and five steals between him and DeLon Wright last night. I know, obviously, Rollins didn't play. Or, I'm sorry, 10. Yeah, they each had five. So, yeah, you kind of mentioned it right there with DeLon Wright. I'd be curious to see his role Saturday. Maybe this is a good game for him, too, to kind of showcase that wingspan and that defensive I'm trying to remember what David Aldridge referred to him as the defensive back of basketball. Is just his hands are everywhere. So, especially with this Charlotte team. But nonetheless, I mean, I think they're better equipped. The Bucks are, at least, hopefully healthy-wise, to going in to playing a team like Charlotte than they were a year ago.
Yeah. And then Monday, the Houston Rockets. I mean, that's not going to be an easy matchup either. You do have, you know, the Bulls beat you, and the Bulls are playing better, but you do have the Wizards, the Bulls, and those types of teams. The Miami Heat are really going through it. Jimmy Butler's been in and out of the lineup. there on your schedule as well. So you do still have a lot of those games, the Raptors, that you feel like we got to win these games. There's a lot of them over the course of the next, what, 12, 11 games now?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the games that, for the time being, it's going to be important to win. Because Doc Rivers even said tonight, we don't like our record. We like it better the last 2 days, but we don't like our record. We didn't expect to be here, and we know there's work to be done. And that's what these next couple of games are really going to start to show you. As we said, hey, 2 games in a row, that's great. But start to stack on these. You know, start to build something going forward and develop some consistency here with this team. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get to some final thoughts for the evening, some interesting scores that we're seeing across the NBA. And we thought the talk of the night was going to be Victor Wembanyama, who poured in 50 points tonight, and then Giannis went and did what he did. So we'll take a look at some of those other interesting scores that have gone final after this on Bucks Talk. 127-120, the final score here in overtime. Bucks beat the Detroit Pistons. 10 straight wins against the Pistons. And in this era of Bucks basketball, it's really, I suppose you would call it the Giannis era. But 2018 onward, I mean, I know Giannis predates that, but 2018 to me is the marking point, because it's when Bud arrived. It's when the expectations were, hey, let's just be a top four seed and get home court advantage. And you won 60 games. You had 260 win seasons, or pace for 260 wins. You were on pace for 70 wins at one point, but won 60 games the first year. He arrives. Giannis becomes a two-time MVP, and you are a perennial threat for the NBA championship. So in that era of Bucks basketball, they have now won, I think it's 21 of 22 against the Pistons. Talking with Mark Champion, who's the play-by-play voice of the Pistons, and their color analyst, Rick Mahorn, tonight. Rick had said, you know, watching your struggles, I'm happy about it. Like, we are openly rooting against you guys because we are sick of seeing the Bucks run roughshod over the Central Division. You get the sense it's how the Bulls felt. It's how the Pistons definitely feel. It's how the Pacers felt last year. We experienced that a season ago. It's how the Cavs have felt. Like, all these teams are saying, all right, enough of the Bucks. This stranglehold they've had on the Central Division. We're not crying over the struggles that they're having early in the season. In fact, we love to see it.
Real quick, you want to talk about tonight real fast, Justin, with the Bucks. Doc Rivers in the postgame. If you want to know how important was it Gary Trent Jr. and Andre Jackson are, Doc Rivers pointed them out in the postgame, gave the game ball to Giannis. Do you want to take a guess on which one of those guys he gave the game ball to?
Gary Trent.
Gary Trent Jr. We talk about it. You and I have talked about it at length, man. The importance of him on this team. Giannis knows he got 59 points, got the game ball, but decided to hand it off to Gary Trent Jr. because I think without him in that third quarter and what he did on the perimeter tonight, man, it was huge.
I don't think they win if Gary Trent Jr. doesn't hit those three shots in the third quarter. You started to see the shots go through the net. It started to change the way that this team played. And, you know, I think it says a lot for Giannis so far this season. The assists had been down recently, but I think it says a lot about Giannis how he was still putting trust in his teammates and looking to pass. Not quite as much in the first half tonight, but it's hard to blame him when he had 22 of the 24 points and you saw the shooting that was going on around him. But Gary Trent Jr. hitting those shots, it keeps that circle of trust open, and it just encourages Giannis to say, okay, this guy's hitting them. I'm going to keep looking for him and the rest of these guys. Like, that's what's important in this stretch. And we talk about guys are going to start to hit shots. Like, you got to trust your teammates. You got to keep taking those shots. Eventually, they're going to go in. These are the types of I don't want to say night because it was horrendous in the first half. But these are the types of stretches and moments in games that really helps develop that. And I think that's a lot of what you saw in the second half. And, you know, not only that, but let's see, I think it was 7 minutes in the first half. So Gary Trent Jr. in the first quarter played 3 minutes. He played 11 minutes in the first half. Played 34 minutes in this game. He basically played like 24 straight minutes to close out the game. The fourth quarter, 22-23, somewhere around there. The fourth quarter, all of it, all of overtime, and basically the back half of the third quarter, he was on the floor continuously because Doc Rivers just found the grouping, that five-man lineup that worked. Said, okay, this is what I'm going to have to go with. Part of it was, well, you don't have very many other options. On a night where Dame is out, Ryan Rollins is out, Bobby is out, and so on. But it was working with that group. You know, the other important part, and that group, by the way, of Brook, Giannis, Torian Prince, Gary Trent Jr., and Ajax. And talking about the importance of Ajax's defense on Cade Cunningham, but also how they blended playing zone that we saw for a large stretch in that second half. Playing zone and also having Andre Jackson Jr. pick up Cade Cunningham the full length of the court. So they're
frustrated the crap out of him.
Yeah, they're taking off seven or so seconds to cross half court. And then once they do, the Bucks are dropping into his zone. And you got to figure out how to attack that.
He shoved at Ajax at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a great night, and he's had a good year. I think he's their leading scorer by a couple, but I think tonight he had over 30. But you did about as marvelous of a job as you could, you know, for players like that that are going to get theirs. Ajax is just such a – man, he's such a huge piece of this team. And it's refreshing to see a young talent get drafted and developed in Milwaukee and kind of thrive and do a role where he doesn't need to score. Doesn't need the ball in his hand, although last night, coast to coast, you know, he can do it when he's given the opportunity, but he's a guy that you're definitely going to need on a championship team to be that piece that can kind of be a connector.
And by the way, I mentioned Victor Wembanyama tonight with 50 points. Giannis, of course, outscores him with 59, but Victor Wembanyama, the fourth youngest player in NBA history to record a 50-point game.
Not your time yet, Wemby. Take a back seat, my friend. Take a back seat.
Do you know who the youngest player to record a 50-point game in NBA history is?
Don't care. Take a back seat. It ain't your time yet.
The youngest player to record a 50-point game is Brandon Jennings, and we just passed the anniversary of that last week.
He was there tonight, too.
Yeah.
At the Bucks game.
Yeah. The stretch that's in front of the Bucks. We'll mention it once again. By the way, I mentioned some interesting scores around the league. So the 76ers, without their whole team, basically, they fought tough but lose to the Cavs. So Philadelphia is 2-9 now to start the season. Your bottom five in the East are the Hornets, Bucks, Wizards, Sixers, and Raptors. The four teams in the play-in tournament, as of right now, the Hawks, the Nets, the Heat, and the Pistons. The Magic are the 3 seed. The Knicks are 5-6. The Pacers are 5-6. It's just been the Cavs and the Celtics that have really found their identity and started to put their imprint on the league so far in the Eastern Conference. But for the second consecutive night, the Portland Trailblazers beat the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. And yeah, we talked about the Knicks. We talked about the Timberwolves. A lot of these teams, the Sixers, it takes time when you change things as severely and drastically. We saw that and experienced that last year with the Bucks. It's not just a flip the switch. We made these moves. Let's start to win. So the Wemby performance, the Giannis performance, the Blazers back-to-back wins over the Timberwolves, a truly bizarre night. Two nights in the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks beating the Celtics last night in the NBA Cup. Like, those are the types of things that the league is really salivating over of, great, here's some more intrigue for this NBA Cup tournament.
The NBA Cup tournament has been such a fantastic addition to the season. And I was a I criticized it. I didn't like it at first. I thought a tournament in the middle of the season, well, it's really not even the middle of the season, but at the beginning of the season, I didn't really care for it. But, I mean, you're there at Pfizer. If you were there last night, I mean, it's just a different vibe, it feels like. It just feels like it's a – there's a different energy in the arena. So you got to give – I give the NBA a ton of credit for it, man. I think it's fantastic. I think the players have bought in. I think the fans absolutely have bought in. You saw – what it really did to us in Indiana last year, kind of sparking that rivalry from the early 2000s. So I thought that I just think it's fantastic. I absolutely love it. I look forward to it. I think the NBA knocked it out of the park. What are some of your thoughts on the in-season tournament?
I wasn't so much skeptical. I just didn't know what to make of it coming into the season. And I still think four is they're going to continue to tweak it, I believe. And like we saw, one of the changes this year was, you know, point differential is the tiebreaker, but they changed it this year to overtime scoring doesn't count. So in other words, like if you need your point differential and you need to surpass a team that you're tied with, you can't just say, okay, we need to win this game by 7 to leapfrog this team, and it's the closing seconds. We're only up by 2. Let's go to overtime so we can try to win by 7 in overtime. It doesn't count. So that was one of the tweaks. I do wonder if another tweak is you just add more games, and if you do home-and-home games where you play each of the teams in your group home and the road to really start to boost that up, because 4 just isn't a lot.
It's
basically... it becomes a double elimination tournament in a sense, because we didn't see any teams last year with 2 losses advance to the knockout round. I don't think you're going to see it this year either, just because of how small that amount of games is. And that's what makes it very interesting that the Celtics lost to the Hawks, because the Cavs are in the Celtics group. So if Cleveland wins that game, and I believe that game is in Cleveland, the Celtics are probably eliminated from the knockout round. The Bucks have the best shot to win their group.
That's what makes it fun, though. I mean, I know what you mean. I agree with you too. I think that is something they'll eventually tweak. But I got to be honest, man. I was skeptical at first, and I'm all bought in. I'm like circling dates, you know, on the calendar when the tournament weekdays that the tournament games are. And it's not just the Bucks game I'm glued to. I want to watch other teams too. I think it's cool because you got some division, and I know NBA has kind of gone away from division, you know, lately. But I think that, you know, rivalry renewed between a couple teams, I think, is a lot of fun, man. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, Bucks have the best shot to win their group.
Yeah,
you know, you got the Pistons. Tonight was not a group play game, but you got the Pistons, the Heat. The Indiana Pacers next Friday. So that's a big one for this team. The Hornets are up next Saturday afternoon. Then the Rockets and four straight home games for the Bucks. So a stretch here of 7 of 8 at home, which started against the Boston Celtics on Sunday. Saturday afternoon, our next game, though, the Bucks in Charlotte to take on the Hornets. That is a 2 o'clock tip-off. 1:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. Brandon and I will talk to you on Saturday afternoon.